God set before Adam, the first man, his way and his purpose in man, and what man's ultimate fantastic potential really is. But Adam had to resist Satan, and he didn't do it. He rejected God. Well, I'm coming to that a little later. God first put angels on this earth. Very few people realize that before man, angels had inhabited this earth. But as you will read in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter and the 4th verse, the angels sinned. Now, apparently there were 1/3 of all the angels put here on the earth. At least 1/3 of them sinned, and that probably was the number put here on the earth at that time. But God intended the angels to develop character. He had informed them of his way, of the truth, of the way to perfect character, which is a way of life. He intended the angels to work with the materials in this physical earth. And incidentally, as I've mentioned in previous programs, the angels were created even before the physical universe, before there was any physical universe, any earth, or any sun, any stars, any planets, anywhere. However, when he created the earth, the angels shouted for joy because it was to be their home. And it was beautiful as far as it went. But it was, I said, it was not complete. And just as in man was complete as a physical being, but the spiritual creation is still going on in human beings, at least in a few. But God intended the angels to work the materials in the earth, to improve, to beautify the earth, and to have their part in the creative process by finishing what God had created as far as it went. You know, I like to compare it to the unfinished furniture, and I imagine that in your city, that at least if you're in a city of any size, whatever, that you have an unfinished furniture store where you can buy unfinished furniture. Now, it's very fine furniture, it may be. I have purchased furniture there, and sometimes you get furniture of the finest of woods, the finest of craftsmanship and design, but you finish it yourself, put on your own varnish or polish or paint or whatever. And, of course, if you're a master craftsman, can do that yourself, you save a little money. But God created things that way. He created the earth that way. He intended the angels to add to what he had done and to have their part in creation. Now, I might say while I'm at it that he intended man to do the same thing. And we have not done it. What has man done to this earth? We have polluted everything that man's hand has been able to touch. Everything of God's creation that we have touched. We've polluted the atmosphere of the air. We've polluted the waters of the rivers and the lakes and the seas and the oceans. We have polluted the soil that produces the food we eat. We have degenerated everything that God has let us have anything to do with when he intended us to improve it. You know, most people don't realize these things, and you just look at it from the vantage point of today's world, and you don't grasp these things. Well, for the purpose that God had in mind for the angels, he knew it was necessary that they work together in harmony and peace, we might say teamwork, and so God placed over them his government. That government was based on the law of God, and the law of God is based on the one word, love. It is the way of outgoing concern, the way of helping and assisting and cooperating instead of the self-centered way of getting, of taking away from others, and of destruction. It's the way of construction and building up. But as I said, the angels rejected the government of God. They became resentful. And so they rebelled. And as a result, the government of God was no longer being administrated or observed on the earth. Now, God had set on the throne of the earth over the angels a super archangel named Lucifer. I've mentioned this time and again in preceding programs. This Lucifer was he was a super archangel. He was the highest type of being that God can just create at one creation. But he also turned away from God's way, and therefore the holy and righteous character was never built within him. Instead, he turned to the other way. He turned to the way of vanity, of lust and greed, of hate toward others, the way of self, vanity, and jealousy and envy, of competition and strife and destruction. And consequently, he became known as Satan. Now, his original name, Lucifer, means shining star of the dawn. It means one who brings light and truth. But instead of bringing light and truth, which God had given him, he fed his angels on just the opposite, on resentment and bitterness and on rebellion. And so there was a rebellion. As a result of that, something that I know and that God has revealed and that I imagine there isn't one person in 10 million that knows or understands. All of the planets, like our planet, like our moon, like the planets of our solar system, like Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, and so on, have gone into a state of decay. Now, decay is not an original created state. Decay is something that has had to happen by deterioration. It takes time to produce decay, so it is not the way God created originally. I knew that if we ever got cameras down on one of these planets, what we would find. I knew when a man of my own name, Armstrong, first set foot on the moon, and he's no relation, by the way, to me, although I received a number of telegrams of congratulation, because some people misunderstood it. But as far as I know, there's no relationship whatsoever. But Neil Armstrong found, and others who have gone there have found, that it is waste and empty. It is just a hulk of deterioration and of decay and will not sustain life. I knew that the same thing was true of the others. Now, an interesting thing is that in Pasadena, almost within sight of Ambassador College, is what we call the JPL, or Jet Propulsion Laboratory. It is operated in conjunction with California Institute of Technology, although it is a government operation, United States government. And there is where the unmanned spacecraft were built, which have gone to, well, I think they've had one very close to Jupiter. But we did land one on Mars. Now, the people over at JPL, the scientists there, are very friendly toward Ambassador College and toward the Worldwide Church of God. So they were glad to make an arrangement that the very first photographs coming after the unmanned spacecraft had landed on Mars, that the first photographs being sent back would be transmitted over to the Ambassador Auditorium and shown on the Ambassador Auditorium screen. And now the scientists over JPL just saw a little small screen of some kind, but we had a big screen up on the stage. Some people had sat in the auditorium all night because it was expected to appear a little after 5 o'clock in the morning. Well, I went to sleep, and I slept, but I set an alarm to waken myself at 4 o'clock. And I arrived over there just about 5 minutes before 5, and I was just in time, right on target, as we say, because the first pictures coming from Mars I saw on our own screen in Ambassador Auditorium about 7 minutes after 5 o'clock in the morning. And what did we see? Just the same things we have on the moon. Everything is waste and empty. Everything is degenerated, and everything is decayed. Now, it could not be the state in which God originally created it. And I don't know whether your mind ever dwelt on things like this, but mine does. I want to know all I can know about God and about the things he has done.
Herbert W. Armstrong will return right after this message.
T-minus 10, 9. We have ignition sequence start. The engines are on.
Space exploration is not a product of chance.
2, 1, 0. We have commit. We have liftoff.
A successful launch takes planning, design, thousands of highly skilled technicians, and millions of man hours. We, too, are on a spaceship. Spaceship Earth, with its life support systems and fuel supplies. Earth is far more intricate than any conceivable human scientific achievement. How could the marvelous world we live in possibly come to exist by blind chance? Find out how the total planning and design found on Spaceship Earth is one of the strongest proofs a creator God exists. This information and more is given in the free booklet, Does God Exist? Be sure to request your free copy. Does God exist?
Hello, Houston, you're looking good.
Send your request to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California, 91123. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California, 91123.
How did these planets become decayed? It is not an original created state. Can't be. There is no way at all to explain it except that the angels were put here to qualify as the proving ground to qualify for them if they would work this earth and improve it and finish it and beautify it, that they would go to other planets all over the entire vast universe. Now, our solar system, in which some of the planets I mentioned are located, in our sun, is only one little, very small part of the Milky Way, which is our galaxy. Now, there are, well, I think scientists don't know how many galaxies, but many, many galaxies. It's just so vast and so great that the human mind will hardly conceive it. But God is so great that he created everything, created all of that, and he created it for a purpose, and he created it to be used, and yet these planets have never been used. Well, as I said, this earth was the proving ground for the angels then, and is the proving ground for man now, to learn how to be a creator with God and to have our part in it. We don't do the whole thing God did, but we add our part to it. Now, when we come to the church, you're going to see the same thing, that God raised up apostles to carry the gospel message, and he added the church to assist them and to have their part in it by backing the apostles. I'm coming to that a little later. So, anyway, when the angels sinned, that kind of destruction came to the earth, and I feel that what is indicated by what God does reveal in the Bible indicates that the same thing happened all over the entire universe, to all of the planets everywhere, and even planets that our astronomers cannot see. Now it was that the only way to produce multiple millions of beings with God's character that would do this kind of job that God wanted done would be for God to reproduce himself. Of all the beings that God had created, he only, and when I say he, that included the one called the Word, which was a person, and the one who was God, and the Word was with God, and they were two different persons. And they had always existed. They were self-existent. There never was a time when they didn't exist. And of course, your mind can't go back that far. Mine can. And if yours can, I think it goes back a little farther than mine can. I can't conceive of it. No beginning. No ending. Now, the Word later became Jesus Christ. And as Jesus Christ, he became the Son of God. But originally, he was not a Son of God because he had coexisted from eternity with God. So, now God set out on the most marvelous creative feat of all, to reproduce himself, and to reproduce himself with the idea of inculcating in humans that he would make his own perfect, holy, righteous character. So that we then could go and do what the angels had failed to do and what they might have done. And I have shown you on other programs that the almost incredible, unbelievable potential for human beings is that we are to finish the creation of planets all over the vast universe, so vast that you can't conceive it. But the first purpose of God in man is the creation of holy and righteous character. And that must come from God, but it must come with our own decision and of our free will. And we must make that decision. Well, now chaos and decay had come to the earth, but if you turn to the 104th Psalm, and I mention this quite often, where in the 30th verse, the psalmist writes of God, "Thou sendest forth thy Spirit," that is, the Holy Spirit God sends forth, "they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth." God renews the face of the earth. He renewed it after it had been deteriorated as a result of the sins of the angels. And those sins I mentioned you find in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. Now in 6 days God renewed the face of the earth and created man upon it. Man was created in the very image of God. He created animals, each after its own kind. Cattle after the cattle kind. Dogs after the dog kind. But he said, let us, not me. There was the Word there, the Word that had later become Christ, as well as God. And he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. In other words, let us make man after the God kind. Man was made to have a special relationship with God that animals cannot have, and a greater relationship than angels now can have. Now, man was made a little lower than the angels, but he was made to become even much higher than the angels, because the day is coming when those of us in whom, by our own consent and choice, God's character may be built, will be judging the angels. But here was the perfect specimen physically of a man. But now, since this earth had a ruler who now became Satan, his name had been Lucifer, and now his name is changed to Satan, which is rival or enemy or adversary, it was necessary for the man that God created, whose name was Adam, to resist this way of this Satan, to turn from it, as well as to accept the way of the government of God before he could be used or qualify to take over that throne and to restore the government of God on this earth, which had been here over the angels. But Adam said, in effect, well, now, look, God, I heard what you had to say. I listened to you first. And I know you didn't let Satan even come to me until after you talked to me and you explained to me all about your way and about your government and so on. And I know it's my wife who listened to Satan first, but I listened also. And I have decided that I want you to keep your nose out of my affairs, God. I will make my own mind up of what I think is right and what is wrong. I will decide what is righteousness and what is sin. I will decide what kind of God I want to worship. I know you're my creator, but I reject you as my God. I reject you as the basic source of revealed knowledge. And God said, well, you have made the decision, Adam. And therefore, it is your decision, not mine, and I sentence you and those that will come from you who will be the entire human family to 6,000 years of being cut off from me. For 6,000 years, you will have no access to me or my Spirit, my Holy Spirit, which could inculcate in you my divine nature, which could inculcate in you my righteousness and my holy and righteous character. You have rejected me, and I now pronounce that sentence upon you and upon the whole world for 6,000 years. And listen, my friends, that 6,000 years is not yet quite up. It almost is. We're in the last generation of it. Just think of that. But God made one exception. He said, I reserve the prerogative of calling out of your world whatever one or ones I decide that I wish to call, that I need to assign some special purpose to, the something I want them to do to help fulfill my purpose. And so it was. Now, the first Adam, in order to qualify to take over Satan's throne, had to reject Satan's way of get first, and then secondly, he had to accept God's government and God's way of life. God's government is built on God's law. You can't have government without a basic law or constitution of some type. Every kind of government, whether it's a local city government, a county government, state government, national government, whatever, every government is based on some kind of basic law. And he had to accept the law of God and the way of God in order to qualify to succeed this Lucifer, or now Satan, and restore the government of God to this earth. But Adam, as I said, rebelled also and said he would follow his own way. And so came the 6,000-year sentence on mankind, and God drove them out from the Garden of Eden and set angels with flaming swords, lest any go back and take of the tree of life or the Holy Spirit of God and inherit eternal life. Now, Adam had failed, and there could be no one could qualify now until a second Adam came and did qualify to conquer Satan, to resist Satan, to accept God's way, and to restore the government of God on this earth.
This topic will be continued on the next edition in series of The World Tomorrow. Because of the importance of this subject and other related topics, we are pleased to offer the following free literature. Why were you born? To become a farmer trying to feed the population bomb? To become an entertainer to give people a fleeting moment of laughter? To be a millionaire with big houses and fancy cars and ulcers? To live out your last days on the end of a plastic tube in a hospital? To be the last to die in a war you don't understand? Is that all there is to human existence? Just putting in your time on a troubled planet? No. There is a great purpose for your life. A reason you draw breath. And you need to know what it is. Read the free booklet, Why Were You Born? This knowledge gives reason to life, adds meaning to all you do. For a true added dimension to your life, be sure to read, Why Were You Born? Send your request to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California, 91123. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California, 91123. You have heard The World Tomorrow with Herbert W. Armstrong, sponsored by the Worldwide Church of God. For literature offered on this program, send your requests along with the call letters of this station to Herbert W. Armstrong, Box 111, Pasadena, California, 91123. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California, 91123.